Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We made it to Friday, everybody. It's great to have you with us. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You hit the weekend, you have to hit Brewers Outlet. Beverages, snacks, the pickle bar, so much more. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am safely ensconced in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilshersstore.com. You know, Kevin always goes to the bakery, but there's hardware and so much more. Well, Shikellamy and Milton will play for the District 4 basketball title in boys basketball tomorrow night. It's also a big weekend for wrestling as well. But it's the basketball game that has captivated so many. And Milton and Shikellamy will play tomorrow night for the District 4 title. Second straight year, Shikellamy's been in the title game, and they're in search of their first District 4 championship since 1979 after their dramatic win at the Wire over Danville on Tuesday night. Meanwhile, college basketball, it's another big weekend. Duke and Miami play tomorrow night with the ACC lead on the line. Miami won the first time by 27 in Coral Gables, but this time it's a Cameron Indoor. That is tomorrow night and the game of the weekend with the Nittany Lion basketball team, by the way, playing against Minnesota tomorrow at 3. We'll be on at 2:30. And it's also a big day for the football team because the Maxwell Award dinner is tonight in Atlantic City. Bill O'Brien as the National Coach of the Year and the Penn State seniors a special recognition of what they did this year at the Maxwell dinner. It's been a great week for Penn State, and that's part of it. Mike DeCourcy, Big Ten Network and Sporting News, joining us in the second half hour today to talk about college basketball and the Nittany Lions' big win. Well, before we get to all that, first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Buner's in the house.
Good afternoon, Steve.
And evidently, my great to hear from you.
I'm still recovering.
Feel like
from
the show's off.
I'm still recovering from that.
Oh, please, Bob.
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
You're still recovering.
I'm still recovering from that Wednesday night at the Bryce Jordan Arena with you, doing the show from 3 to 5, and then sitting close by and watching that incredible Penn State victory over Michigan. The listeners don't know, but I had Steve's blood pressure wired up the whole game. And when Penn State won, it was still 120 over 80.
Which is actually higher than it normally is.
His pulse rate was the same the entire game. Contrast that with Kevin.
I actually have people say, well, look up at you, and you're just sitting there like, okay, I'm sorry.
You were the words.
Watch the court instead of me.
Well, I looked up once when things were going really well right in the last 30 seconds for Penn State, and the only adjective that comes to mind to describe you was serene.
I thought you were going to go with coma. I thought you were going to go with comatose.
Well, serene. You had that very nice smile, like serene. Mission accomplished. You know, great job, but not overly pumping your chest or doing cartwheels like Kevin did when Shikellamy beat Danville the night before.
Well, I hope Kevin has a great one to call tomorrow. That's what I'm hoping.
I think it will be. The last two games have been very, very entertaining between Shikellamy and Milton. So,
and Steve, you gave Kevin excellent advice. If it comes down to a dramatic final shot, as it did in the Danville Schick game on Tuesday, I think he's ready. I think you've got him prepped, as he should be for that final call.
That's assuming I remember that.
Actually, give more advice off the air.
Yes. So. And we can't say what that was.
Retire was not part of it, fortunately.
And then what made him angry is that he heard me do it on the air.
Oh, I said that yesterday. I said that yesterday. You had said to me, you know, just remember positioning on the court where he took the shot. And I'm listening in 40'3". I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
It was. That was 40 feet out. No, that's the thing. What are you doing?
Actually, his coach was probably doing the same thing.
I saw Sean Respert do that once against Penn State. He stepped in like 40 feet. I mean, I'm talking that this wasn't the end of the game. He was just in the middle of possession. He goes, I'm taking it. and he hit it. He's like, anything to the green line, to the left of the green line is hit. Oh. Some people. Well, we'll see how tomorrow goes. It's going to be State in Minnesota. Both teams with Mo.
Yes.
Heavy Mo, I might point out. Yes.
Two unranked teams that knocked off the number one and number four teams within, what, hours of each other?
24 hours, yep.
Yeah.
And 24 hours. And they'll play tomorrow. But Shikellamy-Milton should be quite a game. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And Shikellamy's trying to win a district championship for the first time since 1979. If I have my math correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the chief was actually even teaching at that point yet, so that's how long it's been.
Boy, that's really a long time.
I'll have to find out. That would be a great one for tomorrow night. I'll have to find out exactly.
I think he might have been, actually. I think he's about my age, and I think he was just in the first year or two or three of his teaching career, long-serving teaching career. And, Steve, you're leaving for Gopherland pretty soon.
Yes, I am. In fact, as soon as the show is over, I am, as Dick Girardi would say, gone.
Wheels up.
Well, I was getting out of Adam Fisher's case last night. It was supposed to be 6:30, and all of a sudden we got a new one that said, hey, we're leaving at 5:45. So I said, it was from 6:30 to 5:45. And they said, then at the end of the show, I said, we leave it at 4 or 3 o'clock. What time are we going? he said, we might leave you. I said, okay. I said, you could explain that later.
Having to do the broadcast in Minnesota from the Bryce Jordan again on a monitor. Yeah.
You have to be doing it Ronald Reagan style with all the sound effects in the studio.
Now, let's get to something that happened last night that also relates to Penn State, and that would be the court storming. Mike Krzyzewski was very upset after the game with the court storming by Virginia. Now, look, it is Duke. So when it's Duke, you are going to get, and it's happened, I mean, Maryland, NC State, Virginia, it happened in each instance where they beat Duke, and when they did, the court was stormed. It's just a product of who you are, and it's a respect for you as an opponent that they think that you are that good. Okay? Duke's Duke, and Mike Krzyzewski's Mike Krzyzewski. Now, I watched the end of the game last night, and they had security guards in yellow jackets in front of the scoring table, which players to pass by. The Virginia people are not apologizing today. They are explaining, excuse me, but it in 60 seconds, in fact, maybe even less than 60 seconds, all of your people were back in the runway and off the floor. Krzyzewski did do it with a fan last night. Now, it may have been one word, two words, whatever, but they briefly did get into it. Now, if Mike Krzyzewski is going to get into it with somebody, it is going to make headlines. Should he know better? Of course. But here's what bothers me, is that they'll look at him and they'll say, well, you know, see, he got into it with a fan. But what about the fan? First of all, 99% of fans are great fans, and they're just happy their team won. You then have that 1% ignorant factor that just thinks that they are entitled to say whatever, whenever they want. I bought the ticket, I can say whatever. No, you can't. Class and decency certainly come into play. Now, why is this guy yelling at Krzyzewski when he left? Why? Why aren't you, your team just beat Duke. Why aren't you just happy? Now, in the Southeastern Conference, they have a $25,000 fine for court storming. The last time there really was one, they put this rule in 2004. Last time there was one was, I think, 2009. South Carolina beat Kentucky. And I guess the students were going on the floor throwing dollar bills into the air to help pay the fine. So they do this. First of all, a court storming is just part of the college experience as far as I'm concerned. But you must do it, and you notice 99% of them just want to run out and just be in the center of the floor and jump up and down. They don't really care about the other team. It is the opposing team's responsibility to make sure there is safe passage for the opposing team and the coaching staff and staff to the locker room. It looked like Virginia had done what they had accomplished that. With that said, I thought Mike Krzyzewski coached angry last night. He was upset most of the time. He was angry at the officials, angry at his own team, angry at how the game was playing out. I mean, he was angry a lot last night and seemed to be seething most of the time last night. And I think it came out at the end. Whatever the fan said or who started, whatever, I don't know.
You know, Steve, the fan could have just said, hey, nice game, coach, and sort of said it with a little sarcasm. And I think I watched Krzyzewski last night, and repeatedly the referees had to put him back into the coaching box and point to it and get back there, coach, because you're right, he was on them the whole night. And so you don't know.
He was on his own team the whole night. I mean, all night long. It's one of the few times I've looked at him and felt like he coached angry. I thought, God, he is really mad at this.
Yes.
The whole thing. Then I heard about this later, and I said, you know what? It carried over.
Yeah, he was kind of a very upset from tip-off to and I think you're right when you point out that those yellow jacket people, they were the security guards behind the – they were very mm-hmm. visible in their presence. It was very clear that you could see that happen.
And nobody, Bob, was running at them.
No.
Nobody was. They were just like letting them just stand. They were just standing there.
And do you know that court storming has probably occurred once or twice at Duke? And I don't know that Mr. Krzyzewski complained about that. Because I always worry more about the team that wins, the home team players, because you got kids coming from all ways. You know, I'm watching the Penn State game Wednesday night, really literally from courtside. I had some good seats from a special friend that gave them to me. But it was I was really concerned about the Penn State players because those fans wanted to, they just want to hug them. They want to touch them. They want to slap them on the back.
They want to be part of the moment.
Yeah.
And they should be a part of the moment because they help make the moment because they help spur their team on.
They really
did.
It's part
of college to want to be, and it's part of college to be out there. And I'm all for it. It's part of the atmosphere. It's part of whatever. As long as you have provisions, and Virginia says they went over all the protocols with Duke at shoot-around.
Wow.
Okay? And, you know, I have great respect for Mike Krzyzewski. So this is not a... I'm just saying, last night he seemed to have too much... had an edge to him I hadn't seen. Mike DeCourcy is going to step in. I'm going to talk to him about college basketball in just a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm delivering pickles to you boys today.
Can't wait.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on a Friday. Shikellamy Milton coming up tomorrow, District 4 championship game. Kevin and the Chief on the call tomorrow night. I'll be in Minneapolis at Williams Arena with Dick Girardi, who graced us with his presence on the show yesterday. Our number 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, of course, every Friday, powered by our good friends at Brewer at Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Beverages, snacks, and the pickle bar. We understand the pickles are on their way to
the beautiful
Sunbury. They're already there.
They're here.
The pickles are in the house.
What is it that we just had?
We had garlic. We had hot.
Right.
We had some.
I like the bread and butter.
The bread and butter. Steve, we are feasting in pickle heaven right now.
Oh, it was the horseradish that had the five-second delay.
Yes.
Bob counted to five, and literally, that's when his mouth, the flames came out. It was really wild.
We're concerned that Kevin may not do the game tomorrow. You might have to get back from Minnesota, Steve, to do the game for him, because that one set of the five-second delay, burn your tongue out, pickles just got them.
There's the spicy tomato. You haven't tried the spicy tomato yet, did you? You didn't get to
not
that
yet.
One.
I'm waiting for the break here to do the rest of the sample. Steve, it is awesome. Our friends at Brewers Outlet, they are heroes.
I sit here pickle-less.
Yeah,
you sit here pickle. You sit here in pickle void.
Yeah, I'm pickle-less right now.
We're gonna put a bunch.
I'm
in
sure
the FedEx.
I'm sure what you say is marvelous.
Well, you're gonna be visiting for, if not before, for the Purdy Golf Tournament coming up. So I'll make sure you're taken care of that.
Isn't that the one, Steve, that Roger's putting us all up except for Kevin down at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for dinner?
Incredible.
And Kevin's not getting the invite.
It's incredible. It's, you know how many times we've had to hear about the 17th hole last year?
It was awful.
At three words, in the drink.
I hit a ball in the water there.
Well, that's permissible, isn't it?
Tony went for a swim.
But
and you know, we're on the same team, Bob.
Oh, no.
That's why I'm that's the part about this that has confused me repeatedly is that he has been swaggering about the fact that he hit the ball in the fairway, which was a heck of a drive. Well done. Put us in a great spot as a team to make a nice entry into the green and get it done. Okay? This is a hole we're looking, and I hit it off the tee, and I put it in the water.
Well, and, things happen.
I mean, I've never been on a team before. Where I did that, and the guy I'm playing with, yes.
I did not say yes. I did not say yes.
Booyah.
You make it sound like that I said yes and that was it, and I was very happy that you failed in that moment, but I didn't. I said, yes, we get to take my drive. That's what I said. Then I realized that was the first ball you lost all day, and okay, then I got a little bit more excited, but I'd already lost six that day.
Boy, these pickles are so good, Steve. I just have to say, if we could put them on the plane with you to Minnesota, you would have the flight of your life. Especially the
I'm
hot
sure
ones.
I'm sure I would. I'm sure it could power the plane. All right, let's get to basketball. I've actually played golf with Mike DeCourcy before, and when I've hit a ball in the water when we've been on the same team, you know what he said? He goes, oh, darn, we could have used that drive. Like, I know.
That's because we already had it. I'm not getting into it again.
As opposed to other teammates who are doing cartwheels. Hey, we're on the same team.
We get to play my drive. Oh, boy.
Yeah, good. Yeah, 20 yards in front of the woman, Steve. Fabulous. All right.
You forgot to mention that the women's tee was another 100, 200 yards in the fairway, so you didn't mention that.
Enjoy your pickles.
Hey,
all right.
That's it. I'm done. I'm going to the pickle bar.
Steve, did you know that Brewers Outlet, they roast their peanuts every day?
Oh. Ooh. Oh. That's so good.
Fresh peanuts every day over there.
That is so good. See, that's why we love being associated with quality like that.
No question about it. And we're going to...
Reagan's, yeah.
While you're doing the interview with Mr. DeCourcy, Kevin and I will be into the hot pickles to get his voice and fine-tune for that Chickalamy-Milton game tomorrow night.
Yeah, just avoid being in the same room with him. All right, here we go. Let's bring in Mike DeCourcy, Big Ten Network Sporting News. Mike, I think Mike and I go back, I think, 25 years.
Longer than that, Steve.
Except the difference is you don't look it, I do.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Hey, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, happy to do it.
Last night, let's just start with that as a starting point. I know I had Joe Lenardi on the show yesterday, and he had Michigan on his one line at that point. When you look at what Penn State was able to accomplish last night, and the bottom line, really what they've been able to do the last couple of weeks, you and I both know that teams in that situation sometimes end up falling by 15, 20, 25. It gets worse as time goes on. Instead, they've been able to get better. What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, I had a couple of different arguments on Twitter subsequent to that game in which some people try to suggest that this was a bigger upset than TCU beating Kansas. And I'm like, no, come on, you got to pay attention here.
Yeah.
Penn State has been getting there. They came close against Iowa, only lost by a couple, played Michigan tough on the road the first time they met. That was a game all the way to the end. And then, of course, lost by five at Illinois. So TCU has lost every single one of its conference games except the Kansas game that it won. Every one of its conference defeats has been by 9 points or more, and almost I think there have been two by nine, and all the rest have been by double digits. So they haven't even been in the ballpark, and yet they rose up and beat Kansas. This is a team that's continued to get better. What Pat has shown is that, one, his guys are not quitting, that he can get his guys to play together, play hard, follow the game plan. Just got to get some guys. You know, they've got to get better players, and they've got to get the players that they have better. That's part of building a program, but he's shown without a doubt, and I could use that every one of the coaches in the Big Ten that they have tremendous respect for how well and how earnestly the Penn State players are coached.
Yeah, no, and he is. I've noticed in 2 years now, the one thing, you know, you can see the passion, you can see the desire. It's when you get into a game and see somebody as a tactician. He actually, to me, has proven to be really an excellent tactician as somebody who sees him on an everyday basis.
Right.
I think that's going to bode well. And something I mentioned, I was asked to be on John Beilein's show on Monday night. And I remember they asked me at one point, what do you think of Michigan? And I was talking about how young they actually are. And then they brought up Pat Chambers. And I said, look, I said, John, your first year, I said, you were trying to really take, you know, square pegs and put them into round holes. And you know that, Mike. I mean, we saw that. Now he actually has round pegs, round holes. I said,
right.
That's what
looks to do is down the road, he'll start getting round pegs for the round holes he has, and then you'll really see something.
Yeah, and of course, we don't know how competitive they would have been able to be without the injury. I was looking at the bench last night and saw him, and I just sort of shook my head. You know, saw Timmy. He's such a fine player, and to lose him for the year is especially when you're. If you're Purdue and you lose Robbie Hummel as they did a couple of years back, that's devastating because you have a chance to be a champion. Now your chance to be a champion or a Final Four team or whatever is gone, but you're still pretty good. Penn State had a chance to be competitive, and they lose their best player, who not only is their best player but also a great team guy and everything. You know, he's not just some guy that's out there out to get 30. And the heck with the team. I mean, he's everything you want in a college basketball player, and you lose him, that's hard to replace. We don't know what the progress would have been under that case. But, hey, that means he's on next year's team, and presuming he comes back 100%, that gives you a leg up on year three. Take some lumps now. It'd be nice if it was off in a first-round draft choice. It doesn't work like that in college hoops. But still, to get him back next year and then to go into the season with him, with these guys having played a lot, and then maybe some additions that can help next year.
You've covered basketball for a long time, and you and I both know that this goes in cycles. One year, the Big East is the dominant conference. Another year, it's the ACC. This time, it appears it's the turn of the Big Ten. When you've watched the depth of good teams in this conference, how impressed are you by the depth of the conference?
Very much so. And that's one of the problems for the Lions, is that it's hard to get up off the floor when everybody above you is so tough. And that's true for Nebraska as well. It's really hard when the problem that you have in this league. I mean, go ahead. Here's a little search for you, a little contest or treasure hunts, scavenger hunts. Go ahead and try to find a bad coach in this league.
No.
I mean, good luck with that.
This is the best scouted league, I think, in the country. I mean, that's why I think the games are the way they are, Mike, because I think the scouting is so good, they're no secret.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Nebraska, you've got Tim Miles, you've got Matt Painter at Purdue. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. And that's the challenge. That's what makes it tough. I mean, I was having a conversation with a friend in the business the other day who's very impressed with Tim Miles and what they've done in Nebraska and what the potential is there. And I believe all of that. And yet I also believe, gosh, okay, but where do you go? Because there aren't any knuckleheads in the top echelon that are just one bad recruiting class away from being irrelevant. Those guys... You know, they're all great coaches, and they're all in great circumstances. And even if they get, as Thad Matta has maybe hit a little bit of a talent dip relative to what they've had, they've still got very good players, and he's still a terrific coach able to get the most out of them. So it's very hard to make progress in the league. And I think that's the biggest challenge over the next couple of years for Northwestern, for the Lions, for Nebraska as well. But I wouldn't put it past any of them because I have complete and total respect for every coach in that league, and I am not just saying that. If I thought there was a knucklehead in the league, I might not tell you which one it was, but I wouldn't sit here and tell you that there isn't one.
Yeah, you'd say you would have phrased it as most of the guys in this league can. You and I have been around each other enough to I know how you'd say it. When you look, every time it appears there's a team that's ready to take off, and I don't mean just in the Big Ten, but anywhere nationally, suddenly out of nowhere they hit a rut. Has this season been from that fact?
Well, it's been astonishing, and I did a little stat check this morning for a piece that I'm working on that actually sort of just celebrating the arrival of March. And I try. How weak are the number one seeds for this year? So how do you quantify that? Well, the best way I could do that was to go by winning percentage, because everybody, with the exception of a Gonzaga this year, Memphis in 08, I mean, everybody is pretty much playing in major conferences, BCS conferences, that is going to be in the one seed pool. So you look at their records, and Over the past 5 years, the winning percentage for number one seeds, the previous 5 years, was 9-16. They won 91.6% of their games, those teams that were eventually designated one seeds. Now, this argument is a little bit twisted because some of the teams that I've identified as being part of the one seed pool are going to end up as two seeds. But the winning percentage of these teams, the teams that are in the one seed pool, and that includes anybody that was a one seed by our bracket, CBS, ESPN, or USA Today. So that's like seven teams, I think, seven or eight. Winning percentage, 8-15.
Right.
That's not just current, because that also includes losses that you can't escape for the pool. Like Michigan is going to lose, or Michigan State's going to lose. So that's a loss in that game because they're going to play each other.
Right.
And IU and Michigan play, so that's another loss for the pool. But all told, I mean, they're not getting to 9-15. I'll tell you that 9-16 right now. It's not going to happen. I mean, you might get one team like a Duke is 24-3 now. They could conceivably finish at 30-3. And I could see it happening. And they might elevate the look of the pool a little bit. But the way this season has played out, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's another loss out there for, I think, everybody that's in the one-seed pool, at least one.
It's amazing because if you feel like Louisville's ready to take off, they don't. You feel like Indiana might be ready to take off, they've lost three times as a number one. Duke has Miami coming up, who knows? I mean, that's that game, and they may play a third time.
Right.
They may play a third time. Does this season blow away the argument that the regular season's irrelevant in college basketball?
Yeah, Steve, the argument that the regular season irrelevant is got to be the laziest argument in all of sports.
And you and I both are on the same page there.
Well, because if the reasons that are presented at the regular season is irrelevant is, one, the popularity of the tournament. Okay, a lot more people watch the tournament. I understand that. A lot more people watch the Super Bowl than watch the NFL playoffs or watch the regular season. Does that mean that the regular season is irrelevant in the NFL? I mean, that would be the logical extension of that argument.
Sure.
More people watch the playoffs. More people watch the BCS championship game than watch the regular season of college football. Okay, so now we're wiping. So it extends to just about every sport. More people watch the championship. The other argument that's extended to it is you don't really have any real measure of success. There's no real difference. Everybody's going to be in the tournament. Well, that's obviously not accurate. I mean, lots of very good teams aren't going to make it. That's why we all sort of watched the bubble the last few weeks. Somebody's not going to make it. Somebody is. I mean, you can say that, you know, for instance, that at the beginning of the year that Duke's going to be in the tournament, or after a certain segment of time, you know they're going to be in the tournament. At the beginning of the year, we all thought Kentucky was going to be an easy. That's not happening.
Right.
And then at the same time, you can also say, who doesn't know that the Miami Heat are making the playoffs? So now we've wiped out the NBA regular season. What this argument comes down to, Steve, the reason it's made is it's made by national talk show hosts and sports commentators who have a lot on their plate and don't want one more sport. So they've got to claim one is irrelevant, so they wipe out college basketball and say, we'll pay attention in March. And meanwhile, they try to convince you that you're foolish for paying attention before March. That's ridiculous. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to tell anybody that any sport that they enjoy watching is irrelevant up until the playoffs. If you don't want to pay attention, that's your prerogative. I'm not going to try to sell you otherwise. I can write about the beauty of the game or the entertainment of the game, and if it happens to entice you to follow it, great. But I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just telling you there's millions out there who love the game, follow it passionately, believe in the integrity of the regular season, and like March even more. I like March more, but that doesn't mean I don't love November through February.
The process of getting to March is an enjoyable one. Mike, thanks so much. I appreciate the time as always. I hope it's the first of many times we get a chance to talk with you.
Anytime, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Mike DeCourcy, Big Ten Network Sporting News. Buhner and her pickled in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
a thrill for me to work with two people who have been pickled.
Completely pickled, and we're heading back to Brewer's Outlet for some of the adult beverages to sort of wash down the garlic pickles, the bread and butter pickles, the hot pickles, the gherkins.
Dave Ritchie called and said he was really glad that they moved the game to Saturday now, so that when I turn to talk to him, he doesn't have to smell it. That's what he was worried about. So he's very happy about Saturday now.
These pickles
weekend
are awesome.
Weekend young, Dave.
Yes.
And by the way, the other answer was he started teaching in 1977, so that was his sophomore year.
Okay.
When the Braves last won a District 4 title.
That would be a long time ago, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Steve, I wanted to say to you and Kevin, I watched the Shikellamy-Danville game. I watched the Penn State-Michigan game. And other than having great announcers for the home teams, there was one other thing that I saw in common, and that was great coaching by the winning coaches. I think Patrick Chambers did an incredible job, and Tim Four. I thought they both did incredible jobs of managing a game that could have gotten out of control, both in both instances.
I agree. I think it's been one of the things that's been underrated all year. And I've talked about Patrick's ability. I'll have Kevin address Tim in a moment. But he's had a short bench. He guys, once in a while, get in foul trouble. He doesn't follow the book.
And good timeouts.
And because of that, and he keeps his team in games because he doesn't follow the book. And as for Tim, Kevin can address that.
I'm sorry. I was in the middle of answering a call, and I didn't get a chance to hear what you were saying, Bob. I'm sorry.
I thought Tim Four had done an excellent coaching job, bench coaching job, Tuesday night that really kept Shikellamy in the game. Each team was down by about 11 points in the second half, and both teams come back to win.
You know, he said two things Friday night in the postgame. One, he said at halftime, he said the guys were getting a little bit, a little bit irritated. They didn't feel that they were getting the calls that they wanted to get or whatever. And he said, listen, we're still in this game, basically. As you were saying, basically, we're still in this game. Let's control what we can control right now. And he said it was funny. As the last shot was going off, he said, my coaches jumped off the bench and got excited. He said, I didn't look right away. He said, I was trying to keep everything level-headed and didn't get too excited one way or the other during the whole fourth period process.
Well, Patrick Chambers
I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
That's the right way to do it.
Well, Patrick Chambers was kind of really in a good mood after the game, wasn't he, Steve?
And he still was last night. We'll find out in 1 hour whether he's in a good mood as we get on the plane.
I think he'll have his game face on.
The next part that will bother Kevin is I'm going to take the news and pack.
That shouldn't take. You're going to be able to get it done in 5 minutes?